The Bible is in English, the copy you and I got. But it's not an American book. Mm-hmm. It's a Hebrew book. Written by
Hebrews, first to Hebrews, and then to the rest of us. So we can't look at the current state and situation and say, okay, God, I need you to fix it like this. The greatest problem we're facing now, more so than the pandemic, is the problem is the C word. Anybody can guess what the C word is? You all know it. No, not Christian. No. Control. That's why people don't want to wear these. Because you feel like somebody controlling you. You don't want to go get tested because you feel like somebody's controlling you. Can I tell you something God told me Saturday when I was working on my message for Sunday? We were never in control. We assumed we were in control because of his grace and mercy. And he gave us some liberalities to walk in his world, but we thought we were in control. This pandemic should show us we're not in control.
No.
The government's not in control. The money's not in control. The doctors are not in control. There's only one that's in control.
Amen.
And so he wants us to come back to that. So Amen. Go ahead, because I'm talking too long. I got happy in the office and we were praying and talking. Excuse me.
This is a question, Pastor. How can we as the church move forward during these times of the pandemic, civil injustice, civil unrest, and the cry for equality? How can we as the church move forward in those four areas?
Well, first thing we have to do is understand we have, trying to remember, someone said it the other day, we have the dictionary to the definitions of everything that's happening. But we got to read it. I'm trying to be gentle when I say this. Even though we were all caught off guard by the pandemic, Christians should have not been caught off guard. Because Jesus warned us that these days were coming. So we should not, we're surprised because we've been hearing about it since before Pastor Bill and I was been born. They've been preaching, the end times coming.
That's
coming.
True.
And so we got comfortable with it coming down there in my children's lifetime. And over there, but now that it's here, we're like, God, what's going on? What's going on? He says, what's going on is what I told you what was going on. What I told you what was going to go on.
Good.
Why are you surprised? So the first thing we can do with the pandemic is, pandemic, this is an opportunity. And Pastor Bill wrote this, and I've said this a few weeks ago. It's an opportunity, not an obstacle. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity for us to carry out the Great Commission.
Good.
To go into all the world. Right now, I'm going into all the world. I said it in the office. Every ministry that has had to go to cyberspace in order to reach their membership while the churches have been closed have become international ministries.
True.
But can I tell you something the Lord just told me just sitting here less than 5 seconds ago? You're an international ministry. You have a device, a phone, a way of reaching millions around the world. All you got to do is put on there, Jesus loves you.
Good.
Jesus died for you. Right. Yep, I know you're scared, but God has not given us a spirit of fear. Come join me at the Rock Church. Come join me at the River of God. Here, cyber me, we can pray together. So that's the one thing we do. We see it as an opportunity because God has given us an opportunity. The next is in Acts 11 and 19, where it talks about the people of Israel, the new church being dispersed because of the persecution.
All right.
We're being dispersed. There in California, this past week, the governor made a thing because their COVID numbers are so high, they closed the churches. And this musician, I can't remember his name, they told them they couldn't go into churches. So what they did, they went to the beach and had a worship party.
I heard
Pastor Bill had about 4,000 people out there.
Go ahead.
Watch this. Of all creeds and colors, I feel you, Holy Spirit. All nations singing. And some of them were singing songs they didn't know. But they knew you were my brother in Christ, yeah. So we're going to sing together. And they went to beaches. They went to parking lots and things like this. So in this time of the pandemic, look at it. And I preached this Sunday. It's a pandemic push.
Good.
It's pushing us out of the norm. Everybody, I want to get back to my norm. I can't go to the mall. I can't. They're like a junkie. I can't go to the mall. We can't go nowhere. I can't get my hair done.
Wow.
Because why? Because we're out of a state of what we call normal. And God, when am I going back to that? Well, if you're going to go back to it, to the normal, and you're not going to witness for me, people on the job don't know you're a believer, you don't pray, you don't read your Bible, Jesus is a Sunday morning event only, then he says, I can't let you go back. Because it's more than just about you and I. Mm-hmm. It's about the ones that don't know him.
Amen.
And so he's pushing us. The next thing is, in dealing with civil injustice, it's very simple. Go back to Genesis. Somebody open your Bible real quick. I want to show you something. In Genesis, the first chapter, go to verse 26 and 27. And somebody stand up and read real loud for me. Just stand up and read real loud. Genesis, the first chapter, 26 and 27 verse. And this goes with civil injustice and equality. It's very simple. It's one of the first things in the Bible written, and we've forgotten it. Somebody stand up and read loud for me. Come on. You can't be, wait a minute. It took too long. Is this not your life book? Is this not what you live on? And you ought to wave it up in the air high. You ought to jump up and read. I don't care if you mess up some words. That's why we're here together, to help you get the words right. So we can all be better. Amen. Go ahead, my brother.
And God said, let us make man in our image.
First, hold right there. In our image. Pastor Bill is Caucasian.
Yep.
But what I see is God's image.
Amen.
I'm African American. What he sees is God's image.
Amen.
Now, if you're not happy with that, then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, my brother.
After our likeness.
Uh-huh.
And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea.
Uh-huh.
And over the fowl of the air.
Uh-huh.
And over the cattle.
Uh-huh.
And over all the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth.
Right there. Right there. That just told me right there, everybody equal.
That's right.
Everyone is equal. You can sit down, my brother. Appreciate it. Everyone is equal. So go back. Go ahead. Go to 27. Go ahead. Let him read 27.
So God created man in his own image.
Whose image?
His own image.
Whose image?
His own image.
Whose image?
His own.
Whose image is the African American made in?
His own image.
Whose image is the Caucasian American made in? Who's it? The Indian? The Native American? The Pakistani? The Asian? We're all made in God's image.
Go ahead.
Only thing you jealous about is you're jealous about nothing.
Wow. Wow.
Unless something happened, you had an accident or you was born with a deformity, you got two eyes, I got two eyes. You got two nostrils, I got two nostrils. You got two ears, I got two ears. Some of us got bigger ears than other ears. You got 2 feet, you got 10 toes, you got 10 fingers. It's nothing to be jealous over. Go ahead, finish reading, my brother.
In the image of God created.
Uh-huh.
Him, male and female created he them.
Uh-huh. Okay. So then, brethren, you're not superior to a woman.
Mm. Go ahead.
Oh, you better read the text. Eve was not made submissive to Adam until the sin, because God had to establish order. But he never meant for me to dominate my wife. He says in the New Testament, dwell with her according to knowledge.
Yeah.
As the weaker vessel. That's what the text says. So you're not better than a woman. I know some women that outwork men.
Amen.
It's because some men are lazy. That's a whole nother subject. So God has created us like this. So look, so the civil injustice. Now let me address that. If you're protesting, you're walking down the street, you got signs, you're protesting, you're on public property. Even if I don't agree with your protesting, according to the laws of our land, you have a right to do that.
Right.
And I fully support your right to protest. Now, when you're rioting, I don't care what color you are, I hope they find you, cuff you, and stuff you in the jail cell.
Amen.
See, I ain't get enough handcuffs for that. Because when you because see, if I allow you to be disorderly there, then you're going to assume you can be disorderly everywhere. Then you're going to come in the doors of the Rock Church, and you're going to want to do whatever you want to do, and the minister here going to say, no, you can't do it. Then Pastor Bill got to call the law to put you out. Now the Rock Church on the news for not being a loving church. Mm. Let's talk real.
Yeah, go ahead.
Talk real. You go on your job, you can't do everything that you want to do. If you go to your mama house, you may not be able to do everything that you want to do. So why do we have this assumption that when we come into church, we're going to do everything and anything we want to do? One of the reasons some of these young folks out here in the street are protest or rioting, not I'm not talking about nice protests. I'm talking about rioting and spray painting and stuff like there, because some of them was our children that came out of the church. But when you had them in church, when the pastor said, no, Jimmy, you can't run in church. Oh, pastor, he all right. No, he's not all right. Because if you don't get discipline and instruction at home and in the house of God, you will not get it anywhere else.
Go ahead.
And then you want to turn around and come to the church. Pastor Bill, I need you to pray for Johnny because they got him locked up. I had a lady come to me. She said, I want you to pray for my son. I said, well, what's going on? I'll just pray automatically. I need to get some details. She said, well, he was riding with somebody in the car, and he wasn't doing nothing. They was driving dirty, which meant they don't have no license, no insurance or something like that. And he had a little something on him, but it wasn't enough where they should have took him to jail. So he was riding with somebody he knew didn't have license in an unregistered vehicle, and he had drugs on him. I said, Lord, I pray, Lord, that he don't get hurt in jail. I pray that the justice system will treat him fairly the way it should. I pray that he will learn his lesson, God, and that you will save his soul. She hasn't been back. Because I'm not going to pray to the Lord, let him out of jail.
Sure.
And then next thing I know, Pastor Bill telling me somebody broke in his house. Mm. And it's him. No, come on now. We're supposed to be the church, and we got to be the church. They have children's church in the back. You got to go back there with Brother Johnny. Minister, what is your name? I keep forgetting. I know your name. Michael, and go back there with Brother. Well, I'm going to go back there with him. Brown don't want your child. And Brown's not going to hurt your child. No, Brown's going to make your child sit down. Yeah. And we're going to get this Bible lesson. I gotta watch him. You're not watching him. You're watching Brown, because Brown won't let him do what you want to do. But one of the greatest things I ever received, even when I wasn't saved, was knowing how to behave myself. My wife is online here with me. Our daughter is 25. Wonderful young lady, doing a wonderful job. From time my daughter was born, we could take her, first time meeting you, and say, stay with Pastor Bill and Pastor Debbie, and behave yourself. Nothing but glowing reports. You know why? Because she had discipline at home. See, the whole discipline thing has fell down, and now you have undisciplined adults that lead undisciplined lives that are raising more undisciplined children, and we're wondering why they don't know how to act. Because training starts here. The teacher's job is not to teach your child to sit still. That's my job. And then when my boys don't sit still and the teacher calls me, the teacher is not at fault. Put them on the phone, in the classroom, My boys are on too. They'll tell you. Put on get on the phone now. If I got to come down there, it's going to be a move and shake. Why? Because they got to live in this world. They got to go on the job, and when the boss is acting a nut, they got to stand there and be like, okay, okay. Why? Because they may have a wife and children at home they got to take care of. You can't see. One of the biggest things I'm getting on the sidebar, huh? There's all these people out of work to my, I can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that? I don't understand that you can't take a job and then submit to the job. And then please, if you're a Christian, please go to work on time.
Amen.
Because we've lost, and I'm still talking about the pandemic. I'm still talking about civil unrest and protest. I'm still talking about all of this because it goes back to discipline and how we present ourselves. We can't share Christ because we're bad employees.
Mm. Wow.
You talk about the boss behind the back. Bible tells us to pray for those that are in authority. That includes your supervisor. I know behind the scene there may be a supervisor, but you got to pray for them. Why? What did the Bible say? That why do we pray for rulers and governors? Mm-hmm. That we may lead a peaceable and quiet life. It's not for them, it's for you. Yeah. And so when civil injustice takes place, it's because I don't respect you as God's creation. I don't respect you. Yep. We're different. We have different opinions about stuff like that. But we can have different opinions about stuff. You know, I know some people love country and Western music. I think it's all depressing. But if he loves country Western music, she loves country Western music, that doesn't stop me from loving her. We maximize or shine a lot of light on differences instead of seeking for the similarities. Mm. And when you really boil down to it, there's more similarities than things that we're not alike in.
Very
so.
True.
So let me, because I'm going over time. So again, Romans 12 and 9. Pull that up for me. 12 and 19. I'm sorry. Put that on the screen for me. Somebody read that for me. We're talking about civil unrest, protest, riot. Two different things. All right. Is it up there? 12 and 19. Romans 12 and 19. You got it coming. All right. There we go. All right. Come on. Somebody read for me. No, both of you, go ahead. Read it together. Read it together.
Ahead.
We're the body of Christ. We're doing things together. Yeah. Read it together. Ready? One, two, three, read. Who does the vengeance belong to? It belongs to the Lord. It's his job. He says, avenge not yourself, but give place unto wrath. You want to know why? Because we lose control.
Yes, yes.
I just said it earlier. We think we're in control, but we're not. We lose control. We don't have as much control as we think we do. Pull up Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We think we're in control. And where's the little man back in the corner? Yeah, you. This one yours. I saw your hand go up. Come on, stand up and read it for me when you pull it up. No, wait. He got to pull it up. Oh, okay. No. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's all right. We're in this together. Amen. So, amen. Come on. Y'all give the little man a hand.
Good job.
Amen. Outstanding. So God is saying what? He's saying, come to me. come to me. Let me give you guidance on how to handle this. Because I preached a few weeks ago. I believe it's June, the month. I preached on the four actions of the believers. I preached on rest in the Lord. I preached on stand still, flee, and then I preached on fight. Because a lot of times we're fighting when we should flee. Mm. We're resting when we should be fighting. We're standing still when we should be fleeing. Mm. And we make situations worse when if we would have went to God first, he would have said, you need to flee.
Mm. That's good.
And the fleeing is not running away in fear, but it's running to God.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Because he is the one that has safety. And so we have to seek his counsel and his guidance for how to handle things. I seek it when dealing with my children.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor Debbie, because bringing them to the Rock Church and dropping them off the top is not legal. It is not right.
Yeah.
But sometimes I just don't have an answer. Which is fine. That we don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
Because we know the one who has all the answers. And so we need to go to God. I don't have a problem with the protesting. I have a problem with the rioting. I have a problem with breaking out the windows. You break out the windows of Target. How does that help your cause? And let me say this. Let me divert from this, especially up in the Midwest. All these people protesting are not part of the Black Lives Matter protest. You have the Antifada, which wants to overthrow the government. They've done this in other countries, in France and everything else, where they basically brainwash a lot of our young people into thinking that there's a better way of doing government. I don't have a problem with people wanting to change things in government or changing the government, but you got to sit down and tell me what you want to change it to,
right?
Because they don't have a plan.
Sure.
All they see is the establishment, and they want to overthrow it. Overthrow it for what? One group in, I believe it's Portland, there's an African-American gentleman. He's like 40-something. He's a business owner. He's a Republican. He's a serious Trump supporter. No problem. That's his right. As a created being by God, that is his right. He did an interview about supporting President Trump. 2 days later, somewhere along the midnight, he was executed outside of his business.
That's right.
He was executed. That's not civil unrest. That's terrorism.
Yes.
That's terrorism.
Yes, it is.
And we don't stand. And we don't stand for that.
Can I ask you a question, Pastor?
Yes.
On that line, this November we have an election, and
yes,
my question is, what's going to happen when the person I vote for doesn't get elected? What is to be our reaction? Because it can disappoint us if who we vote for doesn't. But I've seen in the past where the person I vote for doesn't get elected, it affects the church. It affects people. I've prayed for many presidents I didn't vote for.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very concerned with this election. That whoever wins, there's going to be just major splits. There's going to be even church people maybe not wanting to go back to church or associate. But shouldn't we have a higher perspective that we want someone to be the president, but if they're not, isn't there a higher call called the kingdom? That even one of Jesus comes back the next day after that, it's not going to matter. And like you said, everyone has a right, but I'm concerned, and I'll be honest with you, that whoever wins, there's going to be just this disunity. And the thought I had about that while you were talking, the Holy Spirit showed me, do you realize that when God was trying to move the children of Israel forward to the promised land, there were two people that actually got out of unity with the ten. Those two people out of unity caused all those people to miss the 2.5 million people missed the promised land because of two people. They got out of unity with the spirit of Joshua and Caleb and the other spies. So could you how should we react? Because not everybody here is going to have their vote. It's not going to
See, somebody going to lose.
Somebody going to lose. So should the next day, we don't want to come in grumpy or you know. Yeah, what should be our response, brother?
But the first thing is, understand this when you're talking to people. Somebody going to lose.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to lose. But the church wins.
Go ahead.
See, I am an American by national citizenship. But I'm a kingdom.
Amen.
I'm a member of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
This just happened to be where I'm at right now.
Right, right.
So that should be our first thought in our head. We are citizens of the kingdom. Now, things down here do affect us.
Sure.
Let's just be real about that. But God is the one who sets one up and takes one down. When and I'm not saying I'm for him or against him, just taking back something. 4 years ago in November when President Trump won, I felt it that night when I went to bed.
Yeah.
I said, people are really scared. They just didn't know. I preached that Sunday. Don't worry, be happy. Because our foundation, our joy, our peace, our hope, our life is not locked up in a political party.
Amen.
Or in America.
Go ahead.
But it's in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And first of all, let me tell you this, for all, and some may be listening on Facebook, again, I'm not putting them down, I'm not lifting up, I'm not promoting one candidate over another. But there's a whole lot of people thought it was going to be the end of the world when President Trump got elected. It's almost 4 years later, we still here. Yeah. I've lived through about five or six presidents. Clinton was the Antichrist. When I was a little boy, it was JFK was the Antichrist. Then it was Barack Obama was the Antichrist. Now it was President Trump is the Antichrist. Who y'all pick one, please? We got to have in our mind that God is still in charge.
Yes, good.
And that he knows what he's doing. No, it doesn't make sense to me all the time.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's not going to make sense. All of it's not going to make sense to us till we get to heaven with him. So the first thing is, I can't get mad because God is in charge.
Right.
I was working years, going back 10 years, when my mother passed away. I was in my office. I did get upset with God for a little bit. My mother, I found out on Monday, that week before that was our convocation. That Sunday morning, I'm in Norfolk. That Sunday morning, Pastor Bill,
yeah.
I'm getting my my appointment to my church from my bishop. Service started at 12 o'clock. Sis, that was the time my mother was in the hospital fighting for her life. And she didn't make it. Mm. She never saw my certificate. She's never been to my church. Never had a chance to make it.
Wow.
Yeah, I was bothered. God, you can let her live a little while. Let me show her this thing. Because I called her later on trying to get on the phone. Couldn't get on the phone. And I figured, okay, maybe she's asleep or something. Maybe she's downstairs. And then my mother, she would go back and forth in the hospital. And so I finally got my brother. My brother said, she in the hospital. She all right. Me and Gary went up the other day. We're going back on Monday. I said, okay. The doctor had been trying to call my sister to tell her my mother had passed away. So we really didn't know for about 24 hours. But I had to look myself in the mirror, and I looked up to God, and I said, God, I trust you.
Amen.
And I said, more than that, my mama taught me to trust you. And she trusted you. So I'm upset, but I'm not going to lose it because I know you're doing something that I just don't understand. So we have to put out, so with the election, we got to put our confidence in God.
Yeah.
But you got to realize somebody going to lose. Somebody in here going to be upset. Somebody going to be happy. In these four walls right now. but we can't go crazy.
Yeah.
We can't lose it. We do, and I've been to several countries in the military. Let me tell you something. We got, you know, it's not perfect, far from it, but we probably got one of the best systems in the world.
True.
Systems of government. This is my personal opinion. This is just Pastor Randy. I personally think that every teenager, when they get to 18, should have to do 2 years in the military and a year that they should have to do overseas in a third world country. I guarantee you they would appreciate this land more. Because I was a little hard-headed boy from Long Island, New York, thought I knew everything. And then when I went to the People's Republic of the Philippines and I saw a man fishing out of the hole, and whatever he caught, Pastor Bill, that's what he took home. There was some weird-looking fish out there.
Yep.
And he looked at me, he said, and he had to be about 70 years old. He said, "This is how I feed my family." Mm-hmm. People living in shacks that we wouldn't put our lawnmowers in. But now we want to tear this up. We want to be like other nations. Why you think everybody trying to get over here?
True.
I told my wife, my wife was talking with her some months ago. I said, "Look, I'm not condoning people sneaking in here illegally. But I've been to enough third world countries. Bruh, I would be in a tunnel with a spoon. You hear me? I'm serious. I would be in a tunnel with a spoon. I'd be leading the charge. Because I've seen the difference. Some of you have been in the military. Yep. You've seen the difference.
Yep.
Difference? We throw away more food at one meal than some people have for their family for one meal.
Yep.
A pastor friend of mine in Richmond, he went to Africa one time, and he said they were ministering, and afterwards they were back at a house, and a couple of brethren were serving them. And so he didn't think nothing about it, you know, and they had some chicken and some other stuff. You know, and they finished, you know, and the guy cleared the table. And he said he got up to stretch his leg and walk around, and he went and he looked out the window. This brother was a deacon in the church, loved the Lord. He was eating what they left on their plate, Pastor Bill. Mm. Mm. He said, "I sat down and I wept." And he said, "God, I've been too selfish." This man, he going to church every Sunday, praising God all he want. Y'all know, we may eat the chicken left over on the bone from our children, maybe.
Sure.
But a complete stranger? So we have to do more to appreciate what we have here. So understand, don't get so bogged up in all of this political stuff going on. Because it's going to make you angry. It's going to make you sick. It's going to make you not sleep. I'm preaching Sunday on rest.
Yep.
You won't be able to get no rest. It'll be anguish. You're going to have so much anguish. Then you're going to have more sicknesses. Then you're going to have more bills. You want to know why? Because you're going to be sick and going back and forth to the doctor saying, "This hurt on me. They say, I can't find nothing. So here's a $75 copay." Then you're going to go back because this is hurt. I can't sleep. So here, go to the store and buy these pills. There's $150 for that prescription. And we're going back and forth.
Yikes.
And now I'm upset about the election, but now I'm upset because I don't have no money and these pills aren't working. And now I'm all upset. Now I'm coming in church and Pastor Bill said, "Hey, praise the Lord." We praise the Lord to you.
Oh, my.
Or worse yet, we go on the job, and somebody, they don't go to church. You'd invited them 100 times, they don't come, so that's kind of bother you. And they'd be like, "Hey, well, what did Pastor Bill preach about this week?" And he'd be like, "You should have been there." Just lost my witness.
Yep.
So don't get angry. Don't get frustrated. Remember God is in charge.
Yep.
And rest in him.
Pastor, let me ask you, mentioned the last days, and, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said that the last days are going to be like the days of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things in Genesis it says the earth was filled with violence. And we see that. We see violence on almost every nation.
Yeah.
This last year, I have seen a rise in violence, especially some of these big cities, Chicago, other ones. Mm-hmm. I mean, hundreds are being killed, little children. And it's almost like we've gotten so used to it now But there's a rise in violence, and this is one of the reasons I believe this. The Bible says the devil knows he has a short time, mm-hmm. and he's full of anger. Mm-hmm. So could you just talk about, not just with the election, but just other things happening, how that we need to be angry but sin not? I think people are being consumed with anger mm-hmm. and not knowing how to, you know, separate it. I think the first thing is we are never given permission to use anger or rage against anybody.
Yeah,
that is sin. That's what it, with Cain. Yeah. So could you just talk about for a minute the rise in violence and how we as Christians, we might be upset at something, but we don't have the right to give that anger towards someone.
Right. The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Be angry, but sin not. The way we don't fall into sin is we gotta go to God. Mm-hmm. There is so much stuff going on. I'm shamefully say I'm not a big news watcher, but I watch it because I need to watch
sure.
it. But there's so much violence going on, brother. Can you pull up 1 Timothy? I think it's 1 and 7. I may be mistaken. No, 2 Timothy 1 and 7. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. The Bible tells us that these days are coming. Now, as believers, I'll get back to general violence
sure.
in a minute. As believers, we are not supposed to act like unbelievers.
Right.
We go off like unbelievers do. What is the difference? People are saying, why go to their church?
True.
Look at the way they act. No, we cannot repay violence with violence. Now, I know we read the scripture. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. That scripture does not mean that you and I take things violently. You want to know what that scripture means? That scripture means I have such a desire to get to God
yeah.
that if you next to me, we're going to rub shoulders. If I got to kind of step in front of you because I'm trying to get to God.
Good.
I have that much of an urgency that I got to get to God. If you want to get angry about something and be violent about something, be violent about getting to God. If you got to tell God and look at God and say, God, if I don't get to you, yes, I am going to snap. I need to get closer to you now, God, because
yeah.
I don't like what I'm seeing, and I don't care for what I'm hearing, and I don't. And God, in my flesh, I want to snap. I want to go off. There's about a couple of people. Let me just say it. I mean, y'all don't want to say it. There's a couple of people. I've been saved a good long time, about 25, 30 years, but I still know how to cuss. And there's a couple of people that could take a good cussing right now. But because I've been born again, and because he is my God, I say, Lord, help me, bridle my tongue. Old folks would pray and they would say, Lord, I rebuke the devil out my mind. Sanctify my mind. We don't even pray to be sanctified no more.
Go ahead.
When the last time you asked the Lord, sanctify me? I got this feeling in my heart, and you know what? You know what? I could just let a little air out of his tires. Just a little air.
A little.
All four of them. God, you know what he did. You know, God, you know I'm your child. I pay my tithes, pay my offering, put something in my pastor pocket. I work hard in the church. I try and treat people right. They didn't do this by accident. They planned this and went to the supervisor and tried to get me fired. And I didn't do anything to them. Right now, God, I want to stomp a mud hole in him. Can I talk about me? Let me step over here. Let me talk about me. I was in the military, and there was a gentleman I worked with, and the three of us working together. And so our supervisor may be off, and he'll say, one of y'all can go home early. So the guy will come in. He said, Randy, Bill said you can go home early. Mel said you can go home. So I go home early. Next week, my supervisor come back. He's like, why you went home early every day? I said, because such and such told me you said that. Now, I want Brother James. I was Minister James. preaching, teach a Sunday school, in charge of the men's ministry. And I said, that's what he told me. He said, no, that ain't what he told me. And then me and another guy, we was working together, he had told the supervisor, me and him had a problem. It took us 3 hours to convince our supervisor he and I didn't have a problem. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Sis, you know what I wanted to do? Because the dude, he was married, but he had a girlfriend. And the girlfriend would come up there, you know, sometime, and I'd be like, look, I don't know. I knew his girlfriend's name, because she called up there all the time, so you got call ID in the office, so I can see your phone number. I said, I'm going to take her name and her phone number, and I'm going to put it on his wife's windshield. I was saved, Sister Debbie. Speaking in tongues. You know what I had to do? And that's not the only thing he did to me. Several things. I had said I was going to go find me somebody on the street, pay him $100 to give him a good beat down, Pastor Bill. I'm talking about saved, y'all. I'm not talking about when I was in the world. I'm talking about when I was in the church. Because I was hurt and I was angry. And you know what it took? It took a cry. I cried to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't want to be like this.
Yeah.
So angry. So hurt. Yeah. Because when you try to get, you try to mess up my money, you're messing up me taking care of my family.
True.
That's the way I thought about it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about angry, bro. I'm talking about angry. We carried weapons every day. M16 and 9mm. I'm talking about angry. It took me a long time. But I couldn't let the anger override me. And so we got to watch out for anger in dealing with violence. Now, when you're talking about violence in general, again, God warned us about this. Look at Timothy. Is that what I want? God has not given the spirit of power, given the spirit of fear, but the power of love and a sound mind. Go back to the first verse. Uh-huh. Go to the second verse. Keep going. Keep going. Hold on a second. I got to find it.
Pastor, while you're looking for it, let me ask you, how do you, since we've had Petersburg for Jesus, do you feel like there's even more that needs to be done for unity among the churches and among the pastors? You know what I'm saying? It seems like there just needs to be a whole lot more, and that's something maybe we can talk about.
It does. We are, there's an old saying that church is the most segregated place in America on Sunday morning, and it is. Just is what it is. You can take that down. I can give you the scripture. We need to do more. This is good what we're doing.
Sure.
But this comes out of our relationship.
Right.
And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we must, you know, this is a beautiful place. It is. It's a beautiful facility. I would love to have a facility like this. But I'm not jealous of you.
Right.
You said something when you were praying, we was in the office. You said, as the gatekeeper here, you release Pastor Randy to do whatever the Lord tells him to do. Why? Because we're in relationship and you know my heart.
Yeah.
Well, you got to know that over salads at the restaurant down the street. But a lot of times when leaders or pastors come together, it's always like there's a hidden agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's sad because, first of all, these are God's members. People who go to my church are God's members.
Right.
He just happened to place you here over them right here. True. But it still belonged to him.
True.
So it's always some I hate to say it, it's a competition. And like, I know other pastors that would have enjoyed this forum.
Yeah.
But then I know some that would have been like, well, I want to talk about this. Or, well, I want to moderate it. Well, why can't we do it at my church? Well, why can't we do it at that? Let me say this to the body of Christ. I'm just going to do this. As pastors and leaders, we apologize for our division that has led to your division.
Sure. Amen.
Because we, you know, as always, I'll be honest with you, I talk to you, and I talk to about two other pastors, maybe three, on the regular. That's it. Because the two or three I'm talking about, we don't have no agenda between each other. Well, we do, the kingdom of God. That's all it is. That's all it is. He never asked me, and this happens more with African American leaders. He never asked me, well, how many members you got now? Well, the reason you're asking that is because you're trying to compare.
Yep, it's true.
That's what it is. So then it becomes a competition and not cooperation.
Yeah.
And so then when we do stuff and we try to bring our churches together, the churches don't really cooperate. They do the thing and do the event, but there is no cooperation. And guess what? The devil shows it to the people that are unsaved that them people ain't really united. Because game, no game. I can bring somebody, a drug dealer off the street here, and Pastor Bill and I can be here and some other pastors, and they can sit right back there, and if we stay in church long enough, they can go like this. Them two right there, they good. That one right there, he really don't like them. And then we wonder why they don't come back to church. They see you, praise and worship team, when you roll your eyes at the other singer. Y'all don't see it because y'all trying to praise the Lord or whatever. Some of y'all see it. Y'all done seen it. And they be like, please. They up there singing about, what's this? I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. They was like, them people ain't a part of God's body together. That's what happens.
Right.
That's what happens. And so, I love fellowship. But one thing my wife and I have always done, even before we started the church, we've always supported other people. And we would go to their services and things like that. Why? Because we're all in this together.
Sure.
We're all in this together. I need you to just come and sit and just wave your hand. If you come and wave your hand, let me know I'm not by myself. Because it feels like that.
Pastor James, why don't you and me start something? Why don't we start a pastor's fellowship? I'm sure there's some, but maybe just start with you and me and the ones that want to be part of this. We should start something. When I first met, you know, let's do it.
Yeah.
We can meet here, meet at your church. We can meet out in the parking lot. But I really think we need to do that. And when I first met you, my bishop, Bishop Jimenez, he's the one that brought a million people to Washington in 1980, mm-hmm. and he crossed every denominational line, everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, G.E. Patterson might have spoke there. He had Bill Bright, and that spirit of unity has come down on the rock churches, and he sent me across the country with a group to do unity festivals in California, all these places, mm-hmm. and because of that, I know immediately mm-hmm. when I talk to a pastor or to another believer, I know immediately if they have a heart for unity. I don't even have to think about it. It's just mm-hmm. like it just comes. I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent out 176 invitations to the Petersburg for Jesus. I think we ended up like with 12 coming. And I sent like three or four. You come to a breakfast. And, mm-hmm. you know, some of them totally ignored, didn't even respond, phone calls. And I understand, but to me, How are we going to have a move of God when people don't even trust another believer, and we say we have all this discernment and the Spirit of God, but how is it that when we can't even trust a brother, we can't, you know, we're judging him? How on earth is that anointing going to come down from the head? Like
it's
Psalm
not.
133, that's what we need.
It's this. It's not coming.
And it's like this. Like I said at the beginning, there's people, the church has stayed at the burning bush. We're there at the burning bush, mm-hmm. and we have revelation of Christ, and we read about him, and we read books about him and all that. But the reality is, he told Moses, I'm sending you. In other words, I didn't call you just to come to church and hear the preacher and evaluate whether it was a good message or not. Was the worship good?
Right.
We're at this bush, but the problem is, God said, I've heard the cries of my people, Moses.
Yeah.
And God's hearing the cries of every race and every color. He's hearing the cries of all these girls that are being taken as sex objects. He's hearing the cries of a generation.
Uh-huh.
And if we don't have unity, we can't do anything. So he said, I'm sending you. And this is the thing. Moses at that time had never seen the power of God.
Right.
He never saw it. He threw the snake down, okay? And the other one swallowed up. But God said, now I'm going to go to another dimension. We have got to go to another dimension of the power of God in the church. We have got to get back to miracles and healings. When people come in the door, they'll be afraid to lie because the glory's there. Like Ananias and Sapphira, they're not going to lie because the power's there. If we don't get away from the bush and do what God said, we're going to see more people leaving, and a younger generation is going to say the church is not relevant, mm-hmm. and the devil's going to... See, we got to hate the devil more than any of... We got to hate the devil. God's called us to go back to Egypt with his power, with his presence, and lead a people out of sin. So me and you are going to get together. We're going to do something. We're going to see our city. I'm not called to Dallas. I'm not called to, you know, I'm called to this city to see this city turned for God before I cross the Jordan.
Amen.
Come on, give Jesus a hand.
Amen. That's right. Give the Lord a hand praise. You said something key there. And this is a question we have to ask. Yes. Moses is at the burning bush. Sees the power of God. God gives him a command to go.
Yeah.
So, and I'm speaking in a general sense, are we sitting at the bush but not hearing the voice out of the bush? I'm just asking.
True,
that. I'm not putting anybody on the spot. It just popped in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we sitting or have we sat here so long?
So long. That's it.
That God, through the pandemic, got to set the ground on fire to get us to move.
Go ahead. Go ahead, prophet.
I said it, that God is pushing us out of our norm and out of our comfort zone to do what he's calling us to do. I tell people this all the time. The state the world is in right now, in my opinion, and Father's looking at statistics of how many Christians in the world versus other religions, if Christ came today, there'll be more people that would wind up in hell than it would be heaven.
Yeah.
To me, that'd be God losing. God don't lose.
Right. Right.
So he need us to score, to run the ball.
Oh, that's good.
He need us to get in the game.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in training camp so long. Mm. We've been preparing so long. We're getting ready to do it and getting ready to do this. And then we're like, well, I don't really want to do that. Mm-hmm. But Jesus had a moment. He didn't want to go to the cross.
Go ahead.
Pastor asked you to usher today. Oh, can you sing or something? No, I don't feel comfortable doing that. I was praying one time. This years ago. I was at Crusade. And it only has like 3 steps. And the floor is hardwood underneath the carpet. And I was there, and we was having like a 3-day prayer revival, something, noonday prayer, something. I was down there praying, and I said, Lord, this flow so hard. Just as clear as a bell, he said, how do you think my back felt? I ain't never complained about being on my knees praying no more. But we don't want to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. See, we want a comfortable gospel. The gospel is not comfortable.
Good.
We are peculiar people.
Yeah.
We're weird. You're supposed to be weird. You make $9 an hour. You barely got enough to pay your bills, and yet you come and pay tithe. That's weird. Mm. That's unusual. That's peculiar. But that's walking in faith. And so we have to be, we're supposed to be different. I'm supposed to be jolly on the job. Why? Because I got joy in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yes, heck come on, Crazy Larry, the supervisor, but I still got joy in Jesus.
Yes.
Well, if you know Crazy Larry coming, then pray in the parking lot, Lord, fix Crazy Larry today or fix me to deal with him.
Good.
Because he's going to be there. She's going to be there. And guess what? You and I are the only Jesus they're going to see.
Go ahead.
What type of Jesus are you showing? He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Who are you lifting up? Or are you lifting up a form of godliness and denying the power thereof? Or can I even tell that you're a believer? That's another question we got to ask.
Yes, it is.
And then, is my God, watch this, or let me say it like this, is the God in me attractive? Mm. See, because the days are gone pretty much for people driving by, say, I'm turning, I'm going to go visit that church.
True.
Now people come to church because of relationships. Because they knew you, they met you, and you engaged them, or something like that. So, if you display a bad Jesus, they're not coming to see your Jesus. Mm-mm. You just tainted your testimony, as one of my brethren would say. So we got to look at each other's. But we're going to build this thing. Good. We're going to build this thing. As a matter of fact, I want to say it was last week I was thinking, and I've just been praying about it. And I told you about in the office about a night of prayer, pastors coming together, and us just praying on Zoom for our city, for our churches, and for the nation. And I think it's something that is well that we need to do. But touching back on what you asked about the violence, and I couldn't find the scripture, and I got it here somewhere. But I believe it's in Timothy when Paul told us that men will be like this. Mm-hmm. They will be disruptive. They will be angry. They will be fighting. They will be rebel rousers. We would have homosexuality. We would have lesbianism. We would have all of those things he told us was about, that was going to come about. So we still got to preach Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody asked me, they said, well, were you really surprised by the pandemic? I said, I was surprised, but I wasn't surprised, because Jesus said things like this is going to happen. Now, in my wildest imagination, did I believe it be like this, and we would be weeks outside of our, we couldn't go in our churches and things like that? No, I never thought that. But it has pushed us to do what? We got to do things differently.
Exactly.
We got to be more careful, and then it causes us to be more concerned. I mean, how many of you have reached out since this happened? How many of you reached out to people and just to check on them that you hadn't really talked to in a long time? Maybe God wanted you to talk to them. Maybe he wanted you to plant a seed in them.
Pastor, so, I wanted to just mention this. I know we're going to pray and close, but last Wednesday night I talked about in Revelation it says the accuser of the brethren is cast down. There's so much accusation today. And I see not only is he using violence, he's using accusation. And how do we deal with that as Christians, like especially in the local church? Because, you know, I've been in the ministry a long time, and every once in a while that spirit gets in a church, of accusation. You're not doing enough. You're not doing what I think. The church isn't doing this. Pastor's not doing this. It gets in there, and it spreads real quick. So how do you deal with that? I'm sure you've dealt with that. And a lot of people leave And you never know why, but they said something accusing, and they're snared. So how do you how have you dealt with that personally?
Well, when people, again, I do my best. I don't have opinions. I bounce stuff off Scripture.
Sure.
And the Bible tells us that we would face those accusations. Mm-hmm. I've been accused of stuff and had stuff lied on me. I'm talking about in the church. Mm-hmm. And the group is nothing but pastors. Let me just be real. And it hurts. But what I would say to you as a body, someone comes to you and they say, well, we should be doing this and we should be doing that. You know what? This, I'll tell you. Because some people come to you and say, hey, maybe we should be doing this and maybe we should be doing that. And they're really serious about helping do things.
Yeah, right.
That's one person. But the way you can tell real quick, they say, well, look, you know what? Let's pray about it. Well, I just want, no, I think we ought to pray about it before we talk about it. That's the way you can handle it. Say, let's go to the Lord about it. And if you really want to challenge him, say, you know what? That's a good idea. Why don't you and I fast and pray a couple of days about it before we take it to Pastor Bill?
Yeah.
If they don't say nothing else to you, then you know it's of the devil. And you're going to have people, because people are people, that if I don't get my way, I'm picking up my toys and going home.
True.
That you want to see the greatest example of that? It's not on the playground. Turn on C-SPAN and watch Congress. They are. They're true. Oh, I'm not getting my way. Well, I'm picking up my bills and I'm going home. I'm picking up my ball and going home. If I can't start, I can play. Your team, you know, in the basketball court, you know, we play. Winners stay on. Losers have to get off the court. I know I lost, but I ain't getting off the court and it's my ball. So you got to put me back in the game. And so what happens, we bring that in the church. We got to understand, God has called us out of darkness in the light.
Amen.
Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We want to come in the church and operate like we were in the world. And you have to be on guard for this when dealing with other people that are in the church.
True.
Because they'll have you think, yeah, I don't like the way Pastor Bill and Pastor Randy set up there. They should have sat down there. It doesn't really matter where we sit at. But little things like that. And so they accuse us of having some superiority complex. Just like, I'm just going to be honest with it. My wife will get me a little when I get home. When we start this and start calling pastors or something, somebody going to say we trying to be over somebody.
True. Yep.
Oh, Pastor Bill and the Rock Church, he and Pastor Randy, they trying to be bishops. I've been pastoring 9 years, but I've been in the church all my life. Since I was a little boy, even when I won't save, I went to church. I done seen it, synced it. So what we have to do is turn our hearts to God and say, God, look, this person came to me. I don't know what they're saying. I don't know which way they're bringing it. I need your help. I need your spirit of discernment.
Sure.
We don't pray for that. We think we know. No, you don't know. Nope, you're not that smart. I'm not that smart. That's why we need a spirit of discernment.
Yeah.
So we can hear the snake when he's, and then we can rebuke that joker. And we don't even have to necessarily say it to their face and be like, oh, really? Okay. Then I can go get sis and say, sis, look, I need you to just pray with me. I mean, I didn't even tell her the person's name. There's just something going on that ain't right. And we need to bind that spirit. I didn't tell you to call Pastor Bill. You call two or three and get two or three of these brothers together. We're going to come in here and pray. Pastor Bill, me and the brothers getting together to pray. I guarantee you, he's gonna say okay. He gonna say nothing about it, and so we have to watch that because people are going to accuse us. They're going to accuse us because we don't support, we don't condone one candidate or another. They're going to accuse us because we don't speak up on the Black Lives Matter issue and racial injustice because we don't take a side or take a stand. So accusations are going to come. They're going to come. The reason I know they're going to come is because the devil is the accuser of the brethren.
Yep.
That's what he does. That's what he does. So we have to be prepared for it. We have to pray about it and say, God, lead and guide me in all my conversations. Amen. And in all my thoughts.
Well, Pastor, we have so enjoyed you. Let's give him a hand for being here tonight.
No, I've enjoyed you guys
I
being here.
I tell you
here.
What, what a man of God and your wife. You're so blessed. And we're going to do some things together.
We are.
And we're going to have you back. And
Amen.
So why don't we just stand together, and we're just going to close in prayer.
Yes, it's Amen. Always my joy to come. I believe that you are my brothers and my sisters. We are the body of Christ,
yeah.
And I feel so at home when I come here. I want to thank you and Pastor Bill and Pastor Debbie for their love, but I want to thank you all for your love and love for our church and our ministry. And we're better together.
That's right.
We're better together. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Facebook. God bless you.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you are looking for those that will carry unity. We thank you tonight that you have put Pastor James, his wife, in our hearts. We thank you tonight that in the future you're going to use this man of God and his wife in great ways. And I pray for that River Church. I pray, oh God, for blessing and favor. I pray in due season give them, Lord, a church, a new building. Lord, I pray you would add to them. Lord, give them laborers that will labor. God, I pray for a fresh anointing down there on Crater Road.
Yes,
Lord,
God.
The place where blood was shed, a place, Lord, where there was killing and violence. I pray that such a peace, a cloud of glory, Lord, even the cloud of glory that the Lord appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. Lord, I pray that cloud will come, Lord, and heal and save. And so, Lord, I bless him tonight. And I just thank you, Lord, this man of God is bold. You have raised him up as a pastor, but he's also a prophet to this area. And Lord, I pray, God, on the days to come that you'll open up doors he's prayed about, doors he's dreamed about. Lord, open up doors, Lord, and promote him in this season. For Lord, he has a pure heart and his motives are pure, and you have tested him and he's come out like gold. So I pray the heavens to be opened upon him this year. Lord, let him guide his people through these nights. Let him guide, Lord, a new generation of people. I bless them and I thank you. And I thank you for everyone that's come out tonight. We're a little closer to you, Jesus. We're a little closer to unity. We're a little closer to the kingdom because we're moving forward together. We're not leaving any man behind. Thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Pastor James.